Advent hope. Hope. I believe for the world, hope is an elusive thing. The world sees hope little more than wishing for something. I asked the children this morning, because it was a short week, to help me with my sermon. And so those who were in Sunday school, I wrote on a board, "I hope." And they filled in the gaps. I hope I get AirPods. I hope I get a camera. I hope I get a bearded dragon. Y'all even know what that is? Well, these kids do. I hope I get an Xbox Series X. Walker wrote that one, I think. I hope it snows this Christmas. I hope it stops raining, one of the children wrote. I hope to be able to not wear masks, and all the people said, amen. I hope to go back to school. Someone else said, I hope not to go back to school. I hope to fly. That's a good one. Maybe bearded dragons fly even. I hope to write in cursive. I hope for Corona to end. I hope for 2020 to end. I hope Christmas will be good. Hope, the children said. The Apostle Paul offered in our text even more about hope. He offers the God of hope. If you have your Bibles, I hope you have found Romans chapter 15, two verses. Romans 15, verses 12 and 13. Listen to what Paul wrote about hope. Quoting the prophet Isaiah, Paul said, "The root of Jesse will spring up, one who will arise to rule over the nations. In him the Gentiles will hope." May the God of hope fill you all with joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Hope. Biblical hope is not just a desired outcome. Biblical hope, not a desired outcome, but a preferred future based on the very promises of God. God, our God, is a God of hope because God is faithful to his word. God keeps his promises, doesn't he? He promised Adam and Eve, and he kept his word. He made grand promises to Noah, and God kept his word. Oh, the mighty promises that God gave to Abraham and then to Moses. And God was faithful. He kept his word. Now, promises to these that I mentioned, Moses and Abraham, those promises also had a lot of waiting. A lot of waiting. Advent, time of waiting, 400 years. Picture that. 400 years. The very children of God under bondage, 400 years of slavery to the Egyptians, but they knew that God had promised them. They were his people. They waited. God was faithful to his promise. And then they saw the promised land after crossing the Red Sea. There they were, but they waited. They couldn't enter. A whole generation wandered around aimlessly. A whole generation in the Sinai wilderness waiting. Oh, in the midst of all of that waiting, there were wars. There was crisis. There was chaos in their lives. There were unfaithful rulers. Some of them even turned to other gods. Some of them said, there is no hope. We have waited. We have waited. There's no hope. But a remnant. But some, a few, said, God is faithful. We hope in God. I'm reminded of words, the laments, Lamentations chapter 3. I remember my affliction and my wandering. I remember the bitterness and the gall. I remember them well, and my soul is downcast within me. But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. Because His compassions never fail, they are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait on Him. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in Him. To the one who seeks Him, it is good to wait quietly. It is good to wait quietly, for He is faithful. So they waited. The remnant waited. And then the prophets of old came. Isaiah, that we've heard from this morning, prophesied to the people. And Jeremiah and Amos and Hosea, all the prophets told them to repent, told them to turn, and told them that God had a plan for them. God would send Messiah to rescue them. And they waited. And then silence. Silence. 400 more years. 400 years after the prophets, not a single messenger from God spoke a word. 400 years. The prophets had said and the people had listened. And then it was silent. And they waited. And they waited. They waited because they knew their God had been faithful. That God would keep His word. They recalled again and again the words of the prophets, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. In the gospel, Luke quoted the angel that said, today is born in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Messiah, Christ the King, and you will find Him wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger because there's no room in the inn. Isaiah said, the root of Jesse will spring up, one who will rise to rule over the nations. In Him, all the world will find hope. Hope. In weeks to come, we will look at the characters of Christmas. The characters of Christmas, they abounded in hope, did they not? You can't picture Mary without being overcome with the hope in her young, childlike eyes. When we look at the character of Joseph, you're overcome with a man of peace in the midst of despair. Peace in the midst of questions. The shepherds reflect to us their message of joy. Let us go in hope and see this which the angel has told us about. And the Magi who wandered around, Matt sang of them, following the star in hope. They didn't just abound in hope. I love the New International Translation that says they overflowed. Flowed with hope. May the God of hope fill you with joy and peace as you trust in Him, so you may overflow overflow with hope. For some of you this morning, you might say, I'm overflowing with disappointment. Pastor, I overflow with some despair and some depression. Oh, I'm overflowing in the midst of my crisis. I'm overflowing. I've had it up to here with COVID. I'm overflowing. Pastor, I live in hell on earth. Hell in my family and hell at my job and hell in myself. But wait. God of hope. God of hope. Matthew's gospel, the angel came to Joseph and said, I want you to call him Emmanuel. God with us. Let that shake your world. God with you. Emmanuel. Do you trust him? Do you trust him? The text said, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him. God sent his son. God sent our Savior. He asked us to trust him. To trust him. For when we trust him, we experience abundant life, life in Christ. We experience the power of the Holy Spirit that lives within. We experience eternal and everlasting life. As a matter of fact, we don't just hope. We don't just hope that we will be with Jesus one day. We don't just hope that we might have abundant life. We don't just hope that he is with us. We know that he is with us because he keeps his promises. The root of Jesse will spring up. One will arise to rule over the nations. In him all the world will hope. May the God of hope. May the God of hope fill you with joy and peace as you trust him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Max Lucado, in one of his early books, a small book entitled Because of Bethlehem, perhaps once more, Lucado said it best. He writes, hope is not what you'd expect. It is what you would never dream of. It is a wild, improbable tale with a pinch me, I'm dreaming ending. Hope is not a granted wish or a favor performed. No, it is far greater than that. It is a zany, unpredictable dependence on a God who loves to surprise us right out of our socks and be there in the flesh to see our reaction. Hope. Advent 2020. My prayer is that you would overflow with hope. And maybe be surprised right out of your socks. Shall we pray? Oh God, as we begin this journey of Advent, as we begin this season of waiting, expectantly anticipating, we begin with hope. Though the coronavirus is running rampant, though we fear the numbers might even go up, though so much around us feels so unnatural, yet we hope. As you have said years ago, hundreds and thousands of years ago, behold, I will send a Messiah Emmanuel will come. You are faithful. You are faithful. You keep your promises. Advent hope. You keep your promises. May we keep trusting and waiting, because we have a God of hope. Emmanuel. Christ in us. God in us. Oh, come. Oh, come. Emmanuel. In Christ's name and in the hope of the gospel, we pray.